God from your presence. I ask you to open your mind and your Bibles as we study some things together. If you have any questions concerning things that you hear or see this morning, please do not hesitate to ask. We'll be more than happy to clarify anything to give you a blessing, saith the Lord, for the things that we practice and teach. Before we begin this morning, I would like to ask for a moment of your time to please pray for me and me and my family. My dad is illness has progressed. He now has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He's in a facility. I saw him on Thursday. There are a lot of legal wranglings that have to be done due to situations that are beyond my control. I would ask that you pray for us that we can find a solution. I don't want him to go home again. He can't be taken care of. His wife cannot any longer take care of him. He has not been treated very well, and where he's at is where he needs to be. It's very difficult, very humbling to see the tables turn, as it's so to speak, to have to take care of him. But my concern is about him. And I would ask that you would pray for me and my family and my brothers that we would do the right things and that, you know something, there's got to be something better than this. These things that you have to deal with here are just difficult. And they're part of life and part of things that we have to struggle with. But God will see us through. If it wasn't for God, I don't know how to deal with this particular subject. But I would ask that you remember me and I and my family and my brothers in your prayer, and especially my father. Today, I want to talk to you as we continue looking at the subject of being a Christian. I want to begin this morning by looking at Matthew chapter 6 in the passage that you're very familiar with. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24. Jesus in the great Sermon on the Mount said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and men." Then you look at chapter 10 of the same book, verse number 24. Chapter 10, verse number 24. "The disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master." And then you look at chapter 17, and beginning in verse number 6, have another statement that I would like you to consider. This is one of my favorite Bible passages because of the significance of what it says. In Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse number 6 through 10, it says, "So the Lord said to them, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Or will you not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and give yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank his servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all the things which you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do." And then the last passage is in Galatians chapter 1 in verse number 10. Galatians chapter 1 in verse number 10. Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia, said, "For I do I not persuade men, or do I seek to please God? For if I still please men, I will not be a bondservant of Christ." For a few moments today, I would like to talk to you about what it means to be a Christian. What it really means to be a child of God. What it means to be a bondservant of Christ. If we're going to be successful as God's people, if we're going to be the kind of people that God has designed us to be, we need to understand what a bondservant looks like and what a Christian looks like from God's perspective, from His understanding given to us in the Scripture. So I want to look at this today and be able to give you a picture from the Bible of what a bondservant of Christ and a Christian looks like. You see, we are all servants. Every one of us in this audience, and every person that's walking around out there in the world, we all serve somebody. The question is, whom do we serve? There are two choices in this world. You can serve Satan and the world, or you can serve Christ and His Father. And every person who lives on the earth chooses which one will be their master. Now, whether they admit that the majority of people are serving the wrong one, but the tragedy of that is they don't even know it. They don't even comprehend it. They have no inkling, they have no understanding that that's what they're doing. But they're doing it because they rebel against God. And when a person rebels against God, then you are serving Satan. Now again, most people are not going to come up to you and say, I'm a servant of Satan, like they're proud of that. They're not going to do that. And most people would never acknowledge that they're serving Satan. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not serving God, that's the only alternative. There is no other choice. You know, say, wait a minute, I could serve myself. Well, yes, you could. But you're still serving Satan. If you're serving yourself, you're serving Satan. If you're serving the things that they read about, money, position, power, yes, you could serve other things. But in essence, you are serving Satan. And so it becomes very incumbent upon us to make sure that who we are servants to, that we are servants of God. And we need to be we need to recognize the fact that who we serve is going to have a great deal to say where we're going to spend eternity. If we're a servant of Satan, we're not ever going to see the portals of heaven. We're never going to see the gates that's on the golden field. We're never going to see it. We're never going to be in His presence if that indeed who we serve. And so let's look at the biblical concept of how God recognizes those who are His bondservants. You know, all of us who are members of this church wear His name. We are Christians, first and foremost. Whoever we are, whatever that last name of your name may be, one of the names that you wear, one of the names that you represent is a Christian. You are a representative of Christ. I am a representative of Christ. And it's incumbent upon me to understand what that responsibility brings. And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that it does bring responsibility to wear that name. There is a thing and things that we need to do in order to hold that name up and reveal it and to be what God would have us to be. What exactly is our relationship to God? What is our relationship to Christ? Are we best to understand it? Do we really understand and fully comprehend what kind of relationship this is? And do we understand what it calls upon us to do in this relationship? I want to try to help us see that in this lesson, that we would have a better grasp on what it means to be a Christian and a bond servant of Christ. It's a misunderstood concept. How does this perspective of the Christian harmonize with the concept of being a child of God? So many people in the world want to talk about grace. But grace is a wonderful thing. None of us, every one of us in this audience, and anyone that ever gave heaven as an eternal home, will never be able to see it if it were not for the grace of God. Indispensable, absolutely needed, cannot be saved without it. No argument about that. But to think that that is all there is a grand misconception. The purpose of this lesson is to explain exactly what it means to be a bondservant of Jesus and to be a recipient of the grace of Christ that can save us and can lead us to our heavenly home. Yes, we need grace, but to be a true recipient of grace, you have to be a bondservant of Christ. And that's the question I want you to think about today. Are you a biblical definition, or am I a biblical definition of a bond servant of Christ? At the end of this lesson, you're going to be able to answer that, whether or not you fit the description that's given in the scripture. It's a God concept among men. Modern-day evangelists often emphasize grace, liberty, individualism, happiness, physical health, and wealth, and etc., and completely ignore the essential aspects of what it means to be a Christian. You know what? Being a Christian is not glamorous. It's not something that people are waiting in line and seeking. And it's not something that a lot of people seek out. There's nothing glamorous about being a Christian. But I would tell you in the same breath, there is not a better life for you to live. There's not a better way for you to live. And there's not a greater sense of happiness that can be given in this life than being a faithful child of God. But that needs to be understood by God's definition and by God's instruction given to him in the Bible. Now again, grace is not a bad subject. Liberty, individualism is not a bad thing. Happiness is not a bad thing. Physical health, we all have physical health. Nothing wrong with knowing prosperity, to be able to take care of your family, and to have enough to be able to lay back for when you're older and not older. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Those things are not evil. Those things are not sinful. But all of them can be. All of them can become sinful because we pay way too much time, way too much effort, and way too much of our relationship with God in order to gain them at the expense of our soul. That's what I want us to do. I don't want you, I'm not trying to serve you that you can't have any of these things. But what I'm trying to tell you is you have to keep it in perspective. You could pay too much, and you could lose everything. That makes it a very serious proposition. You know, in life, when you buy something, you purchase a home, a car, something for your home, do you want to get a good deal? You want to make sure you're getting your money value? You want your money to go as far as it can go? You want to get the best deal as possible? Sure you do. Nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to spiritual matters, I think we sometimes go cheap. I think sometimes we try to go by cheaply. And that's a mistake. That's a danger that you need to avoid, I need to avoid. And so that we don't sell ourselves too short and fall short at the end. And so let's look at what the Bible says about being a bondservant of Christ. The term slave immediately generates distress and strong emotions when you hear it and rightfully so. I don't think if you've been paying attention to politics, I personally used to, though as much as I used to, but here recently I was going through and looking at the headlines, and they were having one of the committees was meeting to have a discussion about repartition payments to the black community for the times and how they were treated when they were slaves. And they were talking about how they would structure repartition payments for the things that they suffered. Well, that's interesting to me because, you know, all that happened, like over 150 years removed from me. I didn't have anything to do with that. I thought it was unconscionable that we ever did that. In the 60s, when we had men and women going to Vietnam and dying, and a black person had to eat a separate place in the restaurant and had to sit at the back of the bus, that was just something that never should have happened. That was wrong. It was wrong then. It's wrong now. That's not the way to treat a human being. That was wrong. I didn't make that law. I didn't agree with that law. And so to hold me responsible, that seems to be a stretch. But what I'm saying is that's why we hate this word slavery. It just triggers up all bad impressions in our mind, and well, it should. But this, in a spiritual sense, is a very different word. And it is what all of us are to be. We are to be slaves of Christ. That is a correct analogy of who we are. And that should not bring any bad thoughts to our mind. And I'm going to show you why. Slavery was well known and identified a concept of the first century church. Now, we won't read all of these passages, but I want to read a couple. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse number 5. Now, in the book of Ephesians, it's a very practical book. In the first three chapters, it talks about the beauty, the grandeur, and the splendor of the church and the way that God had designed it. In chapters 4, 5, and 6, you have the practical application to the book that shows us how to live the life that God wants us to live as his children. And in verse 5 through 7, it says, "Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will and service as to the Lord and not to men." Even those in the first century who were slaves to other people, they were to be willing slaves. They said that they were to be obedient to their masters. And they were to do it as if they were doing it for the Lord. Now that would be very difficult for us to comprehend how a slave could be happy about that relationship. But being a Christian did not free them from that relationship. Being a slave and having a physical master in that time frame, and you were a Christian, did not release you from that relationship. And you were to act in that relationship as you would act in the relationship that you had with the Lord. You were to be faithful. You were to be honorable. You were to do the right thing, and you were to do what's expected of you. Well, of course, God gave the master some responsibilities too, and I'm sorry to say that many of them did not act the way they should have, but even if they didn't, did not give you the right to rebel. You still had to act in an honorable way. To Colossians chapter 3. To Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. "Bondservants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart fearing God, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. For he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong he done, and there is no partiality." Now the key to this verse is knowing from the Lord that you will receive your reward. See, when that slave was serving his master, in essence, he was serving the Lord. In that capacity, he was to remember that he was in service to God. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That's exactly true about us. Whatever role or whatever relationship we might have in this life, and however we handle that relationship, we must remember that that relationship is unto the Lord. You must act in that relationship like you act in your relationship towards Christ. Now, if you would never mistreat Christ, if you would never try to cut corners, if you would never rebel, if you would always do things in an honorable way, that's exactly how God wants us to act in every relationship we have. We are to act as if we're giving it unto the Lord. Why? Because we will receive the inheritance. We will receive the reward from God for faithful service. Even if we do not receive the same treatment in this life, even if we are treated unhonorably, even if we are treated in a dishonorable way, and we are treated in an ungodly way, we still remain because we remain faithful to Christ. Now again, it's hard for us to comprehend because we're not in a slavery type of a position. But in the first century they were. They were slaves to physical masters. They were in that situation. And yet God told them to act with dignity, act with respect, and be obedient. Be the best slave you can possibly be. Because you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for the Lord. And you know what that would mean? That would make it easier. If you really grasp that concept, if you really understood that principle, that would make that relationship easier because you knew that you were doing it for the Lord and He was clean. That would make it easier for you to do it. And that's why He gave them that instruction. And so we need to understand that in a different way, we are in that same type of boat because Jesus is our master. We are His servant. We are in slavery to the Lord. That is exactly the position of worry. I don't care what you do in the physical world. I don't care how many physical relationships you have. The number one relationship that you need to be concerned about is your relationship with Christ. His relationship is superior to every relationship. And let me tell you how. How you treat others, Jesus parallels it to how you would treat Him. If you would never mistreat the Lord, then I don't believe any of us would. And if you would never shortchange the Lord, and if you would never show any animosity or ungodliness toward the Lord, that's exactly how God wants you to act in every relationship you have. Because you're doing it for the Lord, you're not doing it for them. You're not working for your boss. You're not working for a paycheck. You're working for the Lord. You represent Him in that capacity. And you are, you know what? That means you have a different standard. You have a different standard. And so you act in a different way. Now let me ask you a question. Who ought to be the best employee that a person can have? A Christian. Shouldn't that be the best employee that a man could have? He knows he won't cheat him. He knows he'll do an honest work. He knows he can depend on him. He knows that he can rely upon him because he's a Christian. Shouldn't that be true? Shouldn't that be true of us as God's people? Surely, that's exactly what God expects. Slaves were viewed at the bottom of society. And no one wanted to be a slave. That was not a desirable position to be in. And I understand that. I understand that in the first century. I wouldn't be signing up to that. Hey, sign me up. That sounds like a good job. No. You know, when you're growing up, what do you want to be? I'm going to be a slave. I don't think so. I don't think that was something that you wanted to gravitate to. I understand that. But we're talking about in a spiritual sense. Slaves in the Roman world had no rights except those extended by their owners. They really didn't have any rights. They really didn't have a life. Everything that they had or what they could have was dependent upon their owners, on their masters. And so it was a very difficult position to be in. Slaves who had good masters were cared for, protected, and loved. Read the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon is about a slave owner whose slave became a Christian. His name was Onesimus. Read the relationship that the slave owner had with his slave. And you know what? You know what Philemon was called? Now he's a better slave. He's a slave, but now he thinks he's a better slave. Because if not only your slave, he's your brother. And you know, as his brother, he had to treat him as his brother. He was his slave. He didn't tell him not to go back. He didn't tell him that, well, you don't have to go back. And they said, you don't have to go back. Yes, he had to go back, but he went back not as a slave owner, but as a brother. Who should have been the best slave owners? Who should have been the best slave owners? Should have been Christians. If you were a Christian, you never mistreat your slave. Because if you do, you mistreat the Lord. You see, that permeates everything you do. Now here's the point I want you to get. Being a Christian is going to affect every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life is going to be affected by your Christianity. And it has to be. God determines it to be that way. You're going to remember when you are in an employer-employee relationship. You're representing the world. If you're lazy, that's a reflection on your life in Christ. If you're a cheat, that's a reflection on the world. I think we sometimes forget about this. We're not just Christians when we're here. This is not the majority of the place that you will be a Christian at. The majority of your Christianity is going to be lived outside of you. And what you represent and what you are is to speak for Christ in a good way. Is to make a good impression of who you are and what you are. The gospel, as it permeated society, eventually destroyed slavery as a way of life. As the gospel took hold, and it took hold of people, it eradicated slavery without having a war to do it like we did in the 1860s. You know, it caused a difference in the relationship because of the conduct of the master and slave. Because they were both Christians, they had to act in a different way. And even though if you weren't both Christians, if one or the other was a Christian, it would affect how that relationship would be enacted. Because being a Christian caused you, or should cause you, to act in a different way. Being a slave to sin, things and other human beings should always engender a negative emotion and even a reaction to disgust. When you commit sin, the Bible says you are a slave to sin. What does that mean? That means it has hold of you. It means it has control of you. You see, that's the nature of sin. You know, we think sin, the only sin that has a hold of you is an addiction. That's wrong. That's false. Addiction, yeah, it has a hold of you, but sin has a hold of you. Sin is an addiction. When you commit sin, you can become an addict. Now, the world will not think you're a bad person. The world will not look at you any differently. But I guarantee you that God does. When we make ourselves a slave to sin, that changes God and person of who we are. You know why? Turn to Ephesians 5. Look at verse 11. We have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. God has no fellowship with sin. What does that mean? That means he has no agreement with it. He has no relationship with it. It is against his nature. It is against his character. He'll have nothing to do with it. And you know, while the world wants to marginalize sin, wants to minimize it, and wants to tell us it's not as bad as we think it is, God says it will destroy your relationship with me. Listen to what I just said. Sin will destroy your relationship with God. Any sin will do that. Because it's something God approves. He approves sin. He's not going to have any part in it. And he's not going to join anybody that wants to participate in it. Now, we're not talking about perfect obedience and perfect sinlessness. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living in sin. I'm talking about habitually committing sin and having no remorse for doing so. God's going to have no part of that. God knows we struggle, we fight against sin. He understands that. But when we have no remorse and we just keep doing it and we think, well, God will overlook it, God's not going to overlook it. Because you become a slave to it. And that's a bad slavery. That's a slavery you better get out of. Would it surprise you to learn that Christians and his relationship to Christ is often described by this term in the Greek? Both often translated servant or bondservant. But you know what that word literally means? That word literally means in the Greek original language, it means a slave. If you're a bondservant and a servant, you are a slave to Christ. Does that disgust you? Is that an appalling thing to you? And to me, to be a slave of Jesus Christ? I hope not, because that's exactly what we are. We are a slave to Christ. We are a bondservant. When we use the word slave, bondservant, and Christian, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about the same relationship. Bondservant, a slave, and a Christian. That's who we are. That's who we are to be, and we should never be ashamed of that. No one can serve two masters. Obviously, we live in the world, yep. We work in the world, yep. Our friends are in the world, our family's in the world, yep. But you can't serve two masters. That means you can't be slaves to two different things. You can't be a slave to sin and a slave to Christ at the same time. That won't work. That will never work. You and I have to choose whom we want to be a slave to. To sin or to the Lord. I can't choose for you, you can't choose for me. But I want to tell you something. For you walk out of this door today, every one of us are enslaved to one or the other. We're enslaved to sin, or we're enslaved to righteousness to make us a slave of Christ. We are one or we are the other. And the only one that determines that is us. Now, people can influence you. People can guide you. They can mislead you. They can do a lot of things. But they can make you submit to slavery. You have to do that. You have to do that. And so if I were to ask you today, if I were to ask you, are you in this type of world? Are you in this dilemma today? Are you trying to serve two masters? It says for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can never be loyal to both of them. You know what? Let me give you a little insight here. If you're trying to do this, your life is miserable. Your life's not very happy. Because you're always going to be looking over your shoulder. You're always going to be worried about somebody seeing you do something that you're not supposed to do. You're always going to worry about doing something that people, you're going to be exposed for what you are. That's a miserable way to live, isn't it? You know what amazes me? When people do things and they apologize for them, you know what that tells me right away? They should have done it. Why are you going to apologize for me? There's nothing wrong with what you were doing. You see, there's things that we know that are not compatible with Christianity. We know that. We're not dumb. We know there's things that are not compatible with Christianity because it puts us in service to the wrong thing. And so again, this is something that you've got to make a choice about. I've got to make a choice about. Am I going to be a servant of God? Am I going to be a bondservant of Christ? Or am I going to be a slave to sin? You've got to make a choice. And you know what? You got this choice to make every day. Every day the devil's going to try to get you to change your choice. Every day. He's going to try to get you to serve sin. Serve yourself. And again, the devil won't let you become an evil person. You're a drug addict or alcoholic or immoral person. He doesn't want you to do that. He just wants you to get locked up in the world. That's all he wants. He just wants you to try to split your allegiance. If he gets you to split your allegiance, he's got it. If you forget everything I said this morning, you remember that one thing. When you try to walk this tightrope and you're trying to hold on to both of them, Satan has got control. Whether you know it or not, or I know it, if we're trying to walk this tightrope, Satan is in the captive seat. And he's winning in your life. You might not know him. You might not believe him. But it's the truth. Because God will not be in this type of world. This is just how important is this subject? In the New Testament, this word bondservant servant or slave is used 126 times in 118 different verses. How important is this subject? You know, when I was putting this lesson together, you know, I've got to be honest. I didn't realize they would choose that many times. I don't know how I read the Bible 3 over 8. You think I'd catch that, you know, that word used over and over. But you know, I never thought about it. But when I was looking at it, yeah, that word used a lot. And you know why? Because it's important. It's used because that's who we are. That's what identifies us. That's who we are. We are servants of God. We are bond servants to Jesus Christ. We are slaves to Christ. That's who we are. That's our identity. That's what makes us distinct. That's what makes us different from the other people that walk around on the earth. We have a different master. And if we have a different master, we live by a different code. Don't we? Well, we should. Now, this is not going to be a test, so you know which one's used the most. But I just want you to know, this is the stuff the Bible says a lot about. Now, let's define what we're talking about. Bondservant, bondman, slave, or servant in various degrees. A servitude person or needs a condition. A handmaiden, a female slave, in Romans chapter 6, in these verses that begin in 1 Corinthians 7:23, 2 Peter 2, verse 19, it's in a good sense. A devoted servant or minister, one pledged, bound to serve. When did you sign up? When did you sign up to be a bond servant of Jesus? I will tell you the moment. When you stood in front of some people, maybe down here, maybe in the baptistry, and you were asked a question. Do you remember what it was? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you remember what you said? You said yes. And you know what you did? As soon as you made that statement, you became a bond servant to Jesus Christ. You became his slave. He's the master, you're the servant, you have pledged your allegiance to him. And Hebrews says that we're to live our life in profession of that confession. We are to profess that confession in every part of our relationship on this earth. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you didn't know that's when you became a slave to Christ. But that's when you did it. And we are to be faithful in that relationship. We are to be committed. A slave originally, the lowest term in the spirit of servitude, came also to mean one who gives himself up to the will of another. That's a good definition, because that's exactly what we did. We gave ourselves up to be service to another person. That's what we did. We gave ourselves up willingly to the will of another. His will became my will. His will became my work. His desire became my desire. It became the most common and general word of the word servant, without any idea of bondage. In calling himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ in Romans 1 verse 1, the Apostle Paul imitates that he had formerly been a bond slave to Satan. How do I know that Paul had previously been a bond servant to Satan? I think he tried to destroy the church, didn't he? Wasn't he persecuting Christians? Wasn't he putting them to death? Wasn't he trying to destroy the church and over the fact? I think that made him opposite of what he should have been. That made him a bond servant of Satan. And having been taught by Christ, he was now willing, slave, bound to the Lord. Let me ask a question. Did you see the change in Paul? Did Saul Acts 9 seemed to you to be much different than Paul in the rest of the New Testament? Do you see the same zeal, same fervor, the same adamant, committed conviction that we had in Saul? Do you now see it chained to the Lord? You know what he did? He changed slavery for one thing for slavery to another. That's what we do. We exchange our servitude. We become a willingly bound slave. We do it because we want to do it. We do it because we desire to do it. We do it not because we have to do it. I told you many times from this pulpit that one of the questions that I disdain is when Christians ask me this question. Oh, do I have to do it? No. If you do it because you have to do it, it's not doing you any good. If you come here on Sunday because you feel you have to, you should stay home. If you could take this Lord's Supper every Sunday because you know I got to, then it's not doing you any good. And if you put money or a check in that plate every Lord's Day and you do it because you feel you have to do it, it's not doing you any good. Because it's got to be done willingly. It's got to be done freely. It's got to be done because you want to. Not because you do. You know, here's where people have a hard time living a Christian life. Many people have a hard time living a Christian life is because they feel they have to. They feel compelled to do it. You got to get out of that. You got to want to. You got to desire to. You got to want to live the life. You got to want to be this child. If you do, you'll have a lot easier time living this life. You'll be a lot happier. If you can learn to want to. And understand it's the best life to live. It will make your life change. All the words in this group serve either to describe the status of the slave or the attitude corresponding to that slave. To stand in relationship with the slave, in slave, or performing the service of the slave. Hence we have a service which is not a matter of choice for the one who renders it, which he has performed whether he likes it or not, because he is the subject of the slave to an alien will, to the will of his owner. The stress is on the slave's dependence upon his will. He does it not because he has to, but because he's willingly doing it. He's doing it because he wants to do it. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to tell me this, but you answer this in your mind. Are you a willing slave? Or do you have to fight against it? Is it something you have to fight yourself about? You said you're always going through this turmoil. What should I do? What should I not do? Or is it something you really want to do? Are you looking for ways that you can accomplish it? Or do you feel put off if somebody asks you to do something that you should want to do? Not have to do it. Want to do it. Which one describes you? Which one describes me? These are some of the most comforting words in the Bible. Jesus said these himself while he was on earth. We call this the Lord's invitation. It says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir to God through Christ. Now, you know what? We might be a slave to Christ, but we're more than that. We're a child of the King. We are a child of God. We are in the household of God. We wear His name. We have a spiritual inheritance. being a slave is not a bad thing. Because a slave to this one makes you his child. Being a slave to Christ makes you a child of the King. You are his son. You are his daughter. How much do you love your children? That's how much God loves you, and even beyond that. If somebody loves you that much, it'll be hard to be a slave. It'll be hard to serve him. To somebody that loves us that much, gives us that much, promises that much, it'll be hard to be his servant? I don't think so. I think it would be easy to be his servant. Another passage, Philemon verse 16. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He is telling him that, he's telling Philemon, this one I'm sending back to you. I'm sending our ministers back to you. But he's coming back, not just your slave, he's also your brother, in the flesh and in the Lord. You've got the best of both worlds. You've got a servant, but you've got the best servant you could have because he now is your brother. Now, ladies and gentlemen, isn't that what God wants us to be? Not just a slave, but the best slave that we could be because we are now his child. You know, I can tell you, as a child, that there's nothing that I would not do for my father and my mother. That's beyond my, that I have the ability to do. Because I love them, because they love me. And there's nothing I would not do to help them. God is our Father. We are his child. We wear his son's name. We are part of his family. We are in his household. And we are to be willing servants in that household. But you know what makes this easy? Who has the better end? Who gets the better deal? Do you have any problem knowing it's us? Who is the greatest benefactor in this relationship? We are. Aren't we? Aren't we the greatest benefactor in this relationship? If you don't know that, then I feel sorry for you. If you don't understand what a blessing it is to be in this relationship, then I would go on the limb and I would say that you have a hard time living this life. If you don't understand the benefactor that you are by being a slave for Jesus Christ. You know, I often thought when I was younger, I don't think I can measure up to what God wants me to be. I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I can be perfect enough. I don't think I can live this life to be all that he would have me to be. But you know what? The older I get, you know what I've learned? I've learned this. God will make me be the best I can be, and that'll be good enough. God will help me be what I need to be. If I trust him, if I love him, if I believe in him, and most of all, if I will humbly be his slave, he will make me the best version of what I can be. if I understand, and if I believe, that being a bond servant of Christ and being a slave to Christ is the best life that a man or a woman can live. And ladies and gentlemen, you either believe that or you don't. And you know what? You know what the evidence is? The evidence is in how well you interact with the Lord in your life as your servant. If you're struggling in your life with Christ, this is your problem. You have not learned yet the benefits and the privilege of being in His family and understanding who is your God. What is it about your life or my life that God cannot help me with? What problem could we bring to Him that He cannot help us bear? What problem do we have that He will not help us find a solution? And what time and what circumstance could I ever present that He would ever turn His back on me? Doesn't exist. You know, I got some good friends in this world. I got some good brethren that I love and have a great deal of respect for. But you know, there's things that they can't do for me. There's times that they can't be there for me, not because they don't want to, but because of circumstance they can't be. I understand that. But you know what? I've got one in my corner that I can always count on. In closing today, are you that kind of a slave for Christ? Can He count on you like you count on Him? I hope so. Please take out your song book to the song your brother Ron has selected as a means of encouragement. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we don't want to close the service without giving you an opportunity to become one. If you are a Christian and you're not, become a servant that you need to be and you're struggling, and we need us to pray with you and for you, for God to help you and to strengthen you. That's what we're here for. God wants us, you know what? God wants us to lead in this race that we're in. God wants us to be a leader, and He will help us. But you've got to meet Him halfway. You've got to do your part. I've got to do my part. And if we do, then we will win. And that's what we're all looking for. If we can help you, we can get a good prayer. Let's get a new stand.